Earth and Sky.
The planet itself is the ultimate coupled human natural system. So everything that humans do on the planet collectively affects the entire operation of the planet's ecosystems. I think that's a pretty important and pretty scary thing sometimes, especially with the way things are changing in the world now.
You're listening to biologist Robert Wade, and this is Earth Skies, Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Wade is executive director of the Long-Term Ecological Research Network Office, whose scientists study ecological processes across large areas and over decades. Earth Skies' Jorge Salazar spoke to Dr. Wade about the deeply woven connection between humans and nature, what scientists call a coupled system.
Dr. Wade, welcome to Earth Skies, Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you very much.
Now, you've spoken with Earth Sky before on how humans and nature are a coupled system. Could you tell us a little bit more about what that means?
Sure. Essentially, what that means is that humans are dependent on services provided by natural systems. And by their own behavior, they actually determine the level and quality of those natural services. An example of that might be water for drinking. Most people in rural areas know where their water comes from. It often comes from a well, and they are pretty aware of the quantity and the quality of water that they get. People in urban areas, however, aren't quite as clear. It comes out of a tap, and they pay a bill for it, but they may not know exactly where the water originated. It's important to understand that particular service that ecosystems provide is a very important one. So in many urban areas, there are protected forests surrounding the urban areas which provide a watershed to provide drinking water for the population. It's that kind of connectivity between the human system or the built system and a natural system which is really important. We've just actually produced a special issue in the journal Frontiers in Ecology and the Environment, which is about, it's called Continental Scale Ecology in an Increasingly Connected World. And one example in there has to do with land use change, and particularly land use change associated with urbanization in large cities. In addition to the simple change in the way that land is used, agriculturally or for living or for other purposes, there's also associated changes in climate and pollution that come along with that land use change. And it's been demonstrated in many studies that, in fact, those kinds of coupled changes alter ecosystem properties in the natural ecosystems at multiple scales, not only local scales, but they ripple out into regional and even continental scales.
Yeah, I guess in a sense that, you know, humans are changing the planet. And, you know, the planet is also changing what humans are doing.
I think that's safe to say. Humans dominate the Earth's ecosystems as never before. There have been a number of recent studies that have demonstrated that human populations now acquire and use a very large proportion of the primary productivity, the production that takes place on Earth, in addition to a great deal of the fresh water. And as well, they have an extremely important effect on things like the atmosphere and the climate. So right now, I think it's safe to say there are no longer any pristine systems on Earth. And some might see there are no longer even any unmanaged systems. Even those areas which are remote from human beings or which are managed as conservation areas are still managed. There are decisions being made by humans about whether or not to use them. So certainly the world has changed a lot over the last 50 or 100 years, principally because of the increasing human population.
Now, I'd like to get your thoughts on science in general. You know, talking with you now, we're in 2008. It's really starting to feel like we're in the 21st century. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think it's important for scientists to speak out now? And if so, why?
Well, I think it's always been important for scientists to speak out, but I think it's particularly important now. Principally because there are many warning signals of change. Climate is just one of them. We can pretty clearly see that the climate that we're experiencing, which ranges from the average things like rainfall and temperature to things like the frequency and duration of tornadoes and hurricanes seems to be changing pretty quickly. But there are other sorts of things that are changing too. There have been episodes of coral bleaching around the world. The global decline in amphibians is clearly a symbol or a signal that something is going on. There have been changes in plant and animal reproductive patterns and a variety of other things, which I think are making not only the average citizen but also the average scientist fairly concerned about this. From the perspective of ecological systems, all of these changes have effects that ripple out through these systems. And the fact that these changes are happening so quickly and the fact that they are so complex and tend to reinforce one another is of concern to many scientists. I think the most important thing that we're focusing on and we need to be concerned about is this issue of tipping points. That is, ecosystems can be stressed to the point where they tip over to an entirely different kind of system. In other words, a system which has different kinds of behavior and provides different kinds of ecosystem services. And you can see that as a result of natural disturbance. You know, sometimes if there is a fire or a drought and a fire, you get effects on a natural system that take many, many years or decades or even centuries to overcome. And it's these tipping points that we're not very confident that we can predict yet because they depend on the interaction of many factors. So we also need to know how these kinds of changes affect the ecosystem services we depend on, and we believe that in many cases that will be a negative effect. So the open question is whether humans will understand and appreciate these changes and affect changes in their own behavior to try and head them off.
Well, Dr. Wade, thank you very much for taking this time out to speak with us today.
Not at all. I enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Robert B. Wade, professor of biology at the University of New Mexico and executive director of the Long-Term Ecological Research Network office. LTER has over 24 sites linked across the U.S., Puerto Rico, and Antarctica. Dr. Wade has also generously given his time to Earth Skies Global Science Advisory Council, helping to bring the insights of scientists to people around the world. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird, and you're listening to Earth Skies Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.